articles.
Good morning. It's time to read the Mason City Globe Gazette for Tuesday, February 18th. I'm Brad, and today I'm not going to have any partner because of the snowstorm, so bear with me today. I'm the only reader for you here for another hour or so. I'm certainly pleased to be with you this morning. This broadcast is made possible through a partnership between the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service and 97.9 FM KCMR Radio. Here are today's headlines on the front page of the Globe Gazette. Flights of fancy fill the Clear Lake sky. Color of the Wind Kite Fest draws thousands. Grant for dam, tax breaks on tap. Mason City Council considers fiscal items. And second, Clear Lake Quickstar on track. New gas station convenience store to open in July. Taking a look at today's rather chilly weather. Today it's going to be colder with clouds and sun. The wind will be northwest from 10 to 20 miles an hour with a high of only 20. Tonight, partly cloudy and very cold with wind from the north-northwest at 7 to 14 miles an hour and a low of minus 2. Wednesday, decreasing clouds and colder again. Wind north-northwest 8 to 16 miles an hour. A high of only 9 and a low of 14 below. Thursday, plenty of sun but still cold. Wind west 6 to 12 miles an hour, a high of 10 and a low of 1. And Friday, Sunday, and not as cold. Wind south-southwest from 10 to 20, a high of 31 and a low of 21. And then we can look forward to Saturday where it will be partly sunny. Wind again from the south at 10 to 20, but a high way up at 35 and a low of 21. Our first story today is flights of fancy fill the Clear Lake sky. There were flying fish, flying pigs, and well, just about everything you could imagine was flying Saturday on Clear Lake. That's thanks to the annual Color of the Wind Kite Festival. The Kite Festival, in its 19th year, was organized by Larry and Kay Day. The Day started the Color the Wind Kite Festival in 2001 to share the Day's passion for flying kites with others in the community they've called home for decades. Since then, the Kite Festival has attracted hundreds of thousands of spectators and kite flyers from across the country. Saturday was no exception, with thousands in attendance. The Color of Wind Kite Festival has been featured in several publications in the past, including Disney's Family Fun magazine, AAA Living, Senior Lifestyle Advantage, Our Iowa, Iowa Outdoors, and others. The festival was also the subject of a feature program done by Iowa Public Television. There are a bunch of really pretty colored photographs. The first big one on the front page shows the tail of a big green alligator kite that was designed to whip back and forth in the breeze as it was on display above Clear Lake at the annual festival on Saturday. There's another color photograph showing a giant cat hovering above Clear Lake at the annual festival. On the second page, there's also more good colored pictures of these kites. One is called A Pod of Whales that Move Realistically in the Sky Above Clear Lake. Another one shows that some of the kites are designed to appear inflated on the ice on Clear Lake. And it also shows all sorts of little kids and visitors watching this and building snow forts and such on Clear Lake as they're watching these colorful kites. Grant for dam tax breaks on tap. Mason City Council considers fiscal items. When the Mason City Council meets on Tuesday night, it has a number of financially important items to consider. However, a few of the most important items will materialize immediately. Instead, the six-member group will be looking at things such as approval of a grant for dam work on the Winnebago River, public hearing dates for budgeting matters, and issuing some $3.1 million in tax abatements for 31 properties across the city. All things that will be noticeable one day, but not necessarily in the coming days. First, Winnebago Dam Project, the grant for dam work on the Winnebago River, is part of an ongoing plan that will end in the stretch of water running through Mason City becoming more navigable for kayakers as well as fish and other aquatic life. Most recently, city workers placed a series of rock deflectors and boulders in the river to help focus low flows toward the center of the river channel. Now, Mason City Operations and Maintenance is looking for approval of a six-figure grant from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources that it could put towards safety improvements and recreational tweaks on and near Lowhead Dam No. 1 on the Winnebago River. According to the office's manager, William Stangler, the $125,000 grant would be used on work that primarily involves the design of several large wave features for kayaking and tubing purposes and bolstering navigability. But Stangler noted in his letter to City Administrator Aaron Burnett that the grant does not fully fund one half of the project and workers will not start until other funding sources can be obtained. Based on past estimates, the cost for all the work on the dam is between $500,000 and $600,000. As far as property tax abatements, an ongoing program that Mason City maintains in order to increase assessed property values while also bolstering aesthetics is its Urban Revitalization Tax Abatement Program, which has expanded enough over the years to allow for most residential properties in the city to qualify. In 2019, the city's Department of Development Services received 34 applications for the program and is looking to approve 31 at Tuesday night's meeting. Based on an estimate from the Director of Development Services, Stephen Van Steenhuizen, all of the work that would translate to about $3.1 million eventually making its way onto the city's tax rolls. That's about $2 million less than the previous year when the city received 47 applications for 2018. To meet the eligibility requirement for the abatement, improvements need to increase the assessed value of the property by at least 10% for a single-family or duplex property, as well as for an assisted living multi-residence property, and by at least 15% for commercial properties and other multi-residential properties. There is a $75,000 cap on the value that can be abated for new single-family and duplex construction. Second, Clear Lake Quick Star on track. New gas station and convenience store to open in July. An article by Ashley Stewart for the Globe. The second Quick Star gas station and convenience store in Clear Lake is scheduled to open in July. NISS Excavation of Mason City began removing snow and moving dirt at the site, 1006 North 20th Street, earlier this month, about 9 months after the demolition of the former Dairy Queen building in May. Quick Star has a bunch of stores it wants completed this year, and Clear Lake is one of the first on the list, said Colton Wegeman, project manager with Dean Snyder Construction. He said the crews are working around winter weather conditions, but they are expected to have footings for the store in place in 3 or 4 weeks. The Dairy Queen building, which was built in 1996 and occupied until its closing in September 2018, was purchased a year ago by Quick Trip, Inc. for $525,000 from Dean Snyder Construction. According to Sarasota County Property Records. In October, the Clear Lake Planning and Zoning Commission unanimously approved site plans for the Wisconsin-based convenience store. The completion date for the project is July 2020, Wegeman said, barring any unforeseen weather events. Quick Trip, a La Crosse, Wisconsin-based convenience store chain, has more than 400 stores, including ones in Clear Lake, Garner, Charles City, Mason City, and Forest City. Its stores in Minnesota and Wisconsin are known as Quick Trip, while the locations in Iowa are called Quick Star to avoid confusion with Quick Trip stores. In 2015, Quick Star opened a 7,500-square-foot convenience store and truck center in Clear Lake on a 19-acre parcel at the intersection of Highway 122 and North 32nd Street east of Interstate 35. A Quickstar representative told the Planning and Zoning Commission in the fall that the second location will be much smaller than the city's first, and it won't accommodate diesel activity. The convenience store will be positioned along Highway 122, and the 4-4 pump aisles will be located north of it. Quickstar is expanding its footprint in North Iowa and Sargota County. In November, Quickstar opened its first location in Mason City at the former Woos's Car Wash, a longtime car wash and full-service gas station on South Federal Avenue. Wagaman said the Clear Lake location and the Mason City South Pierce Avenue locations, both for which Dean Snyder Construction is the general contractor, swapped project schedules. Work on the second Mason City Quickstar is anticipated to begin in March. A third Mason City Quickstar location has been in the works on Sargota County-owned land at 335 South Eisenhower Avenue. Sargota County Director of Administrative Services Tom Myers said in November that the plans is to close on the property negotiated for $455,000 in February. The property sale hasn't appeared on the Sargota County agenda yet this month. Dean Snyder Construction has worked on about 10 Quickstar locations within the last couple of years, Wagaman said. NISS Excavation also worked on the Garner and Mason City locations. And there's a colored photograph on page one that shows shows the excavation equipment in place, working to build the new convenience store where the old Dairy Queen was before it was torn down. Taking a minute here to look back at some of today's highlights in history. On February 18, 1970, the Chicago Seven defendants were found not guilty of conspiring to incite riots at the 1968 Democratic National Convention. Five were convicted of violating the Anti-Riot Act of 1968. Those convictions were later reversed. Excuse me. On this date, in 1546, Martin Luther, leader of the Protestant Reformation in Germany, died in Eisleben. In 1564, artist Michelangelo died in Rome. In 1861, Jefferson Davis was sworn in as provisional president of the Confederate States of America in Montgomery, Alabama. In 1885, Mark Twain's Adventures of Huckleberry Finn was published in the U.S. for the first time after being published in Britain and Canada. In 1930, photographic evidence of Pluto, now designated a dwarf planet, was discovered by Clyde W. Tombaugh at Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona. In 1943, Madame Chiang Kai-shek, wife of Chinese leader, addressed members of the Senate and then the House, becoming the first Chinese national to address both houses of the U.S. Congress. In 1983, 13 people were shot to death at a gambling club in Seattle's Chinatown in what became known as the Wami Massacre. Two men were convicted of the killings and are serving life sentences. A third was found guilty of robbery and assault. And finally, in looking back in history, in 1988, Anthony M. Kennedy was sworn in as an Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. Iowa Dems elect interim chairman, an article by Aaron Murthy, a special for the Globe Gazette. Mark Smith was chosen Saturday to lead the Iowa Democrats at a time of significant turmoil for the party. Smith, a state lawmaker from Marshalltown and former leader of the Democrats in the Iowa House, was elected interim chairman at an emergency state party meeting Saturday afternoon at a labor hall in Des Moines. Smith replaces Troy Price, who resigned in the wake of the party's inability to report timely results of the February 3 presidential precinct caucuses. I believe that the people of Iowa are going to be looking for what things the Democratic Party does to win elections in November, and I believe that I will have a strong message out there that we are correcting those issues and that we have many more strengths as a party than there were issues that night, Smith told reporters after his election. Smith is serving his 10th and final two-year term in the Iowa House. He previously announced his plans to retire from the Iowa legislature. He will serve as interim state party chairman through the November general election. A computer program designed to transmit results from the roughly 1,700 precinct leaders to state party headquarters faltered on caucus night, and the state party's backup systems also failed to perform as hoped. As a result, the state party did not release partial results until Tuesday afternoon, and full results were not completed until Thursday, 3 days after the caucuses. The slow trickle of results, with the world watching, caused the black eye for Iowa Democrats and fanned the flames of another debate over the Iowa caucus's role as the first step in the U.S. presidential nominating process. Smith said, by most accounts, the caucuses ran well, but acknowledged the issues with reporting the results. The state party plans an independent review of the myriad issues that arose on caucus night. We will fix the problems that occurred on caucus night, Smith pledged in his remarks to committee members before Saturday's vote. Smith will guide Iowa Democrats through a crucial election cycle in which their goals will include winning back one of Iowa's U.S. Senate seats in a race against freshman incumbent U.S. Senator Joni Ernst, protecting two of their own freshman incumbents in the U.S. House races in eastern and central Iowa, and flipping enough seats to earn a majority in the Iowa House and thus halt State House Republicans' complete control of the state lawmaking process. Priority number one is to get out across the state and to talk to everyday Iowans and restore the faith in the Iowa Democratic Party, Smith told reporters. So I'll be traveling across Iowa and meeting with folks, hearing their concerns, and activating the volunteerism that we need to be successful in our elections in November. Price announced his plan to resign on Thursday, 9 days after the caucuses. In his remarks to the State Leadership Committee, Price said he hopes his resignation will allow Iowa Democrats to move past the caucuses and focus on winning elections. There's no doubt this past week has been rough, but the fundamental strength of our party remains strong, Price said. Members of the State Party's Leadership Committee nominated a total of 4 candidates for interim state chair. The others were former Congressman candidate Gabriel De La Cerda, Iowa Latino leader Joe Henry, and activist and frequent political candidate Bob Krause. The state party does not publish vote totals in elections for party positions. The rules chairwoman who conducted the election called the results conclusive. On Sunday, the state party will begin a re-canvass of the caucus results from 143 precincts. The re-canvass was requested by the presidential campaigns of former Mayor Pete Buttigieg and U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders. The campaigns believe errors were made in those precincts that could alter the caucus results. As reported, the caucus results show Buttigieg with the most state delegates equivalents by a historically slim margin over Sanders. And we're not quite at the time yet for obituaries, so we'll take a look here at the sports page for a while. We'll talk first about state swimming. Mason City relays post faster times. An article by Shane Lance for the Globe. 6 members of the Mason City swim team made the trip down to Iowa City on Saturday for the state meet and all walked away with some success. Though the 3 Mason City relay teams did not place particularly high in their respective races, head coach Steve Hugo came away happy with the results. The 200 free relay finished with a time of 1:31.71, good for 22nd place, but the time was 1/10 of a second faster than the team's previous fastest time. In the 400 free relay, the Mason City boys finished 18th, but their time of 3:20.86 shaved nearly a second off their previous record of 3:21.80 and was the 15th fastest time in program history. The 200 medley relay team cut 7/10 of a second off of its previous record, but was disqualified along with four other teams as the timing system detected the swimmers leaving 1/100th of a second early. Overall, Hugo was happy that all of the relay teams managed time cuts at the state meet. "It's always the goal to swim your fastest at the state meet," Hugo said. The three Mohawk relays did just that. August Davison, David Johnson, Trevor Torkelson, Ryan Corthalls, Adam Detmer, and Sawyer Berg all swam for the Mohawks at state, with Davison, Johnson, and Torkelson participating in all three relays. Of the six, Berg, Corthalls, and Torkelson will return next season. Iowa City West won the team championship with 262.5 points. And there's a colored photograph of Mason City junior Ryan Corthalls swimming in the 200-yard individual medley against Dowling Catholic earlier in the season in Mason City. And then there's a big article here about North Iowa schools represented at the state meet concerning wrestling. Mason City sends three, Osage six, to the state wrestling meet. As it has all season long, the Osage wrestling team dominated the day, claiming five district titles and qualifying six total wrestlers for next week's state tournament. Here are the Class 2A and 3A wrestling results from Saturday. First, district or Class 2A, District 1 at Algona. At 106 pounds, Webster City sophomore Karen Flexmore came out with the district title, beating Humboldt senior Cole Nelson by a 5-0 decision. Two area wrestlers competed at 106 in Jake Zabaka of Algona and Zach Feld of Garner Hayfield Ventura. Both lost in their respective semifinal matches, and Zabaka beat Feld by fall to claim third place. Nelson still advanced to state due to his win over Zabaka in the semis. At 113 pounds, Forest City freshman Kellen Moore claimed the 113-pound district title with a 9-1 major decision over Humboldt freshman Jace Goodell. Moore started off the day with a semifinal win over Kaylin Oaks from Southeast Valley Gowrie, while Goodell beat Clear Lake freshman Max Currier to advance to the finals. Thanks to his first win, Goodell finished in second place and clinched a state tournament spot. At 120 pounds, two wrestlers battled for the district title in Algona on Saturday in Osage. In Osage, freshman Nick Fox and Forest City junior Brock Moore. Fox came out with the victory, beating Moore by fall at 3:54 to claim the district title and book his first trip to the state tournament. Moore still advanced to the state due to his semifinal win over third-place finisher Creston Craven. At 126, for the second week in a row, Clear Lake junior Sam Nelson and Osage senior Joe Sullivan faced off in a tournament final. And for the second straight week, Sullivan came out on top, beating Nelson by a 6-2 decision to claim the district title. Nelson finished in second place and will go to state thanks to a semifinal win over third-place finisher Hunter Abrahamson of Okoboji. At 132 pounds, junior Avery Abin made it three straight district champions for Osage as he claimed the 132-pound title and win by fall over Webster City junior Chase Rattenborg. Rattenborg then wrestled Okoboji senior Blake Abrahamson in a second-place match and lost at Abrahamson, won by fall at 4:34 to clinch a spot in the state tournament. At 138, Hampton Dumont Cal sophomore Carl Barkema earned a district title with a pin of Osage senior Ryan Adams on Saturday, doing so at 4:55. Adams bounced back in the second place match, beating Okoboji freshman Noah Stance by fall in just 37 seconds to clinch a spot at the state tournament. At 145 pounds, Hampton Dumont Cal Jr. David Cornejo won the 145-pound district title with a pair of victories on Saturday. In the semifinal round, he beat Webster City's Nix Goska by a 4-3 decision. In the finals, he won by a 1-0 tiebreaker to win the title over Emmitsburg senior Brad Wirtz. Wirtz then lost to Goska in the second-place match, as Goska won by fall at 140 to punch a ticket to state. At 152, Forest City's Christian Gunderson and Algona's Luke McKenna were the two area wrestlers to compete in the 152-pound division. Gunderson won his first match over Webster City's Evan Eslin, but lost in the finals to Emmitsburg senior Brett Hoyman. Gunderson ended up qualifying for state anyway, beating McKenna in the second-place match by a fall of 429. At 160, Zach Williams made it four district championships for Osage as the Green Devils senior won his semifinal match by a 9-0 major decision over Garrett Paulson of Estherville Lincoln Central and beat GHV senior Jared Shaw by a 3-1 decision. Shaw finished second and qualified for state thanks to a 16-2 major decision over Humboldt senior Levi Knave in the semis. At 170, Osage junior Spencer Mooberry clinched the 5th district championship for Osage, beating Emmitsburg senior Mason Griffin by a 6-2 decision to clinch the title. Griffin still qualified for state thanks to a semifinal win over 3rd place finisher Adam Heflin of GVH. At 182, Forest City sophomore Reese Moore secured his spot at the state tournament with a 10-5 decision victory in the 182-pound finals on Saturday, as Moore claimed the district title over Emmitsburg sophomore Matthew Wirtz. At 195, Algona's Cole Lewis and Clear Lake's Dylan Krukenberg both wrestled at 195 on Saturday, but the two ended the match on very different notes. Lewis won his semifinal match over Emmitsburg senior John Lace by a 3-2 decision, while Krukenberg lost his final match by a 15-7 major decision to Estherville Lincoln Central freshman Xavion McMurrian. McMurrian then lost to Lewis in the finals by a 2-1 decision, as Lewis claimed the district title. McMurrian advanced to the state thanks to his win over Krukenberg. At 220, senior Andrew Hamilton of Algona came out with the 220-pound district title, beating Humboldt junior Colton Goodell by a 6-4 decision in the championship match. Goodell still qualified for state, as he had beaten third-place finisher Brett Muller earlier in the day. And at 285, Forest City's Austin Kelso and Algona's Gavin Mainz both qualified for state on Saturday, as Kelso snagged the district title with a 4-0 decision over Mainz in the first-place bout, thanks to his victory over third-place finisher Jordan Anderson. In the semifinals, Mainz finished in second place. Now moving to Class 2A, District 6 at New Hampton, Charles City advanced four wrestlers to the state tournament on Saturday afternoon, as Caden Collins, Jack Sinlinger, Tino Tamayo, and Chase Crooks all finished second in their respective weight classes. At 182, junior Caden Collins lost in the first place match to Jaken Reeks of NHTV, but advanced to state thanks to his semifinals win over Marcus Beatty of Independence. At 195, senior Jack Sinlinger lost by an 8-2 decision to Evan Roski of NHTV in the first place match, but still secured a spot at state due to his win over eventual third place winner Christian Kremer. And at 220, senior Tino Tamayo lost his first place match by a 3-1 decision to Treaton Bricknell of Crestwood Cresco, but still advanced to state because of his earlier win over Olwine's Cooper Smock. And finally, for Class 2A at 285, Crestwood Cresco senior Chase Crooks beat Charles City sophomore Chase Crooks. Well, that must be a misprint there. Anyway, Crooks advanced to state and the fourth consecutive Charles City wrestler to finish second and still advanced to state. And now turning to our remembrances for today. We'll be reading obituaries for Anna Lorraine Pierce March, Gary Frericks, Lavina M. Bakken, Juanita Castillo, and Philip Schnuel. Mason City, Anna Lorraine Pierce Marsh, 99, passed away this life Saturday, February 15, at Hospice of North Iowa from complications of a stroke. A funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, February 19th at the Old Stone United Methodist Church at 1 Jackson Street in Rock Falls with Pastor Sue Simmons officiating. Burial will take place at Rose Hill Cemetery in Greene. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, February 18 at Hogan Bremer Moore Colonial Chapel at 126 3rd Street Northeast in Mason City. On January 7, 1921, Anne was born in a farmhouse in Lewis, Iowa to Albert and Alma Cossack Pierce. In 1928, Anne, her six siblings, parents, and their family dog, Jack, climbed into a camper built by her father on the back of a truck and moved south. When they reached Belafonte, Arkansas, their truck broke down. While it was being repaired, the local residents provided food, housing, and invited them to church. The Pierces were so impressed with the town hospitality that they decided to purchase a small farm and stay. Anne graduated in 1938 from Belafonte High School and then headed back to Iowa to help her aunt's restaurant. She later worked in Des Moines, where she met her husband, Dale Marsh. They married in 1942 and moved to Stillwater, Texas, where Dale was a flight instructor and a pilot during the war. Anne was now a military wife in 1947. War years behind them, Anne and Dale settled on a farm near Doherty, Iowa. For nearly 40 years, Anne thoroughly enjoyed her life on the farm. She raised chickens, vegetables, milked cow, and was the chief wildlife control officer for the farm. Anne would lay on the ground patiently with her .22 rifle aimed just above a gopher hole, and let's just say she was a pretty good shot. Anne was an expert at making something from nothing and could fix just about anything, be it a fence, toaster, or a torn pants knee. She even built a playhouse and a shed for her kids, complete with shingles. In 1964, Anne began work as a bookkeeper for the Farmers Co-op in Doherty. For 17 years, she enjoyed the work, the customers, and especially handing out suckers to the kids. After she retired, she and Dale moved to an acreage near Mason City. In this phase of her life, she embraced and was embraced by many friends and neighbors, especially in the Rock Falls area. The Old Stone Church family warmly welcomed her, and it became a very important part of her life. It was difficult to find Anne at home. She always said she was not going to moss over, and she definitely did not. Anne had fun playing 500 with multiple card clubs, volunteered, shopped at garage sales, and enjoyed many trips and activities with friends. Anne loved music. When she was young, she was often called upon to sing at local events. She played the piano by ear, often in a rollicking style, to delight her audience. Her grandchildren, especially those lucky enough to live nearby, have many memories with a very fun grandmother. Kite flying, dress up, piano playing, picking strawberries, board games, scooter and bicycle riding. It was fun if it was with Grandma. Even ditch burning, lawn mowing, and gardening were great fun with Grandma. Anna loved her family, and her family loved her. Hogan Bremer Moore Colonial Chapel at 126 3rd Street Northeast in Mason City is in charge of arrangements. They can be reached at 641-423-2372 or at colonialchapels.com. Juanita Castillo, 92 of Mason City died Saturday at the Good Shepherd Health Center in Mason City. A funeral service will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, February 21 at Hogan Bremermore Colonial Chapel. Burial will follow in Memorial Park Cemetery in Mason City. Visitation will be held Friday afternoon from 12:30 to 2 at the funeral home on Friday. Hogan Bremermore Colonial Chapels is in charge of arrangements again at 423-2372. Philip T. Schnull, that's S-C-H-N-U-L-L-E, 58 of Hanlontown, met his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Saturday, February 15. The celebration of life will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, February 22, at the Open Bible Church at 509 South 17th Street in Clear Lake, with Pastor Shane Philpott officiating. Philip's family will greet relatives and friends on Friday evening, February 21, from 5 to 7 at the Open Bible Church. Hogan Bremermore Colonial Chapel, 126 3rd Street Northeast in Mason City, is in charge of arrangements. Gary J. Frericks, 86, of Clear Lake, passed away peacefully Saturday, February 15, surrounded by his family. Memorial services will be held at 6 p.m. Thursday, February 20, at the Ward Van Slyke Colonial Chapel at 101 North 4th Street in Clear Lake, with Mark Doble officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Thursday at the Ward Van Slyke Colonial Chapel in Clear Lake. Gary was born September 15, 1933, the son of John Marvin and Juanita Alberta Van Meter Frericks in Wellsburg, Iowa. He met and married his wife of 47 years, Eunice E. Eckhoff, in Wellsburg. In 1951, he enlisted in the United States Air Force and proudly served as a firefighter for 20 years while being stationed in Arizona, Japan during the Korean War, and Arizona, Spain, in Wyoming, England, and retired from Dover Air Force Base in Dover, Delaware. After retiring in 1971, he and his family resided in Clear Lake, where he worked for Wilcox Furniture. Gary was an avid Harley-Davidson enthusiast since 1956. He went on several road trips with his family and friends throughout the United States, and his last one taking place at the age of 79. He also enjoyed sprint car racing, riding snowmobiles, and RV camping throughout his life with his wife, family, friends, softball teams, and Harley-Davidson groups. Gary's family would like to extend a special thanks to the staff at Good Shepherd for their special kindness and love shown to him during his time there. Ward Van Slyke Colonial Chapel at 101 North 4th Street in Clear Lake is in charge of arrangements. They can be reached at 641-357-2193 or at colonialchapels.com. Lavina M. Bakken, 98 of Garner, passed away Saturday, February 15 at the Concord Care Center in Garner. Funeral services will be held at 1:30 p.m. Friday, February 21 at the Cataldo Funeral Chapel at 160 East 4th Street in Garner, with the Reverend Scott Kozizic officiating. Burial will be at the Concord Township Cemetery in Garner. Visitation will be held at from 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday at Cataldo Funeral Chapel in Garner and will resume 1 hour prior to services at the funeral chapel. Memorials may be directed to the St. Paul Lutheran Church. Lavina Marjorie Bakken, the daughter of Leroy and Gladys Swenson Tendall, was born March 18, 1921 at Clarion, Iowa. She attended the rural schools of Wright County and graduated from Belmont High School. After high school, she helped families in the area as a nanny. On November 29, 1947, she was united in marriage to Carol Bakken at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Belmont. They lived on an acreage near Clarion until moving to a farm south of Garner in 1957. In 1976, they retired from farming and moved into Garner. In their retirement, they traveled across the country in their motorhome and took trips to New Zealand and Norway. Lavinia enjoyed spending time with her family, quilting, sewing, and playing Scrabble. She was a member of the St. Paul Lutheran Church and the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. The Cataldo Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. They can be reached at 641-923-2841 or at cataldofuneralhome.com. Now turning back to some of our sports notes and continuing on with some of the notes concerning Iowa high school wrestling. Turning now finally to Class 3A, the District 5 tournament was at Fort Dodge. Three Mason City wrestlers punched their tickets to the state tournament at Saturday's Class 3A District 5 meet in Fort Dodge as Jace Rhodes, Cullen Shriver, and Colby Shriver will all return to Wells Fargo Arena. At 113 pounds, sophomore Jace Rhodes claimed the 113-pound district title with a 3-2 decision over Lane Cowell of Fort Dodge in the finals. At 126 pounds, through his first two rounds, it looked like Cullen Shriver wanted to wrestle as little time on the mat as he possibly could. In his first round match, Shriver beat Jamise Murdoch of Sioux City West in just 16 seconds. In the semifinals, Shriver took down Sioux City East junior Johnny Gomez by a fall in just 40 seconds. In the championship match, Shriver beat Fort Dodge senior Carson Taylor by an 11-5 decision. The win clinched a state tournament spot for Shriver, who will wrestle next week for his third state title. And at 145, Mason City senior Colby Shriver finished second in the 145-pound weight class on Saturday, losing by fall in the first-place match to Fort Dodge senior Brandon Mills. Shriver still advanced to state thanks to his victory over Storm Lake senior Tate Mattson in the semifinals. Turning now to, before I leave wrestling, there's some good colored pictures. There's a large colored picture on the front page of the sports page where it shows Forest City's Brock Moore taking on Nick Fox of Osage in the Class 2A District 1 meet Saturday in Algona. Fox beat Moore in the 113-pound, but both will make the trip to the state wrestling tournament. There's also a colored photograph of Osage's Avery Abin wrestling Chase Rattenborg of Webster City. Abin claimed the 132-pound title by fall over his opponent during the Class 2A District 1 meet on Saturday in Algona. And now turning to basketball for girls, Clear Lake girls number 2 in the final poll. Five North Iowa teams remain in top 10, an article by Shane Lance for the Globe. Well, the time has come for the final girls basketball rankings of the season, with the regional tournament starting this week. We can now separate the haves from the have-nots. Several regional games happened this past weekend, and the state tournament begins in 2 weeks. Here is one last girls' regular season poll. As usual, area teams are in bold. For Class A, number 1, Newell Fonda, who are 21-0. Number 2, Marquette Catholic, 20-1. North Mahaska is third at 18-2, and Bishop Garrigan is 20-1 in fourth place. After an exciting revenge win against West Hancock to essentially clinch a share of the top of Iowa West title, the Golden Bears are riding high. Garrigan will open regional play on Tuesday night against Newman Catholic, a game they should be able to win pretty handily. Going down the roster further in Class 1A, number 5 is Montezuma, 6 is MMCRU, and number 7 is St. Ansgar with an 18-2 record. With that 18-2 record, the Saints earned themselves a first-round bye in the regional tournament. On Tuesday night, they will play Janesville, who is 11-11. I predict a pretty decisive win for the Saints, who are currently just 3 wins away from the state tournament. Going down the list then, number 8 is Exira, number 9 is Kingsley Pearson, and number 10 is Springville. Moving to Class 2A for the girls, The number one team is Cascade at 22-0, and our own West Hancock is number two at 21-1. The chance for a perfect season and a solo conference title went away with the team's one-point home loss to heated rival Bishop Garrigan, but the Eagles are a team that should be able to have a pretty easy time in the regional rounds. They will have to play some tough competition in the finals, but I expect this team to make a run at the state title. West Hancock already has a state champion football team and six wrestlers going to state. If the girls' squad wins it all, I vote that Britt be called Title Town from now on. Number three in Class 2A is North Lynn at 19-2. Number four is Osage at 19-2. After winning a conference title, the Green Devils got to take a one-week break thanks to a first-round regional bye. With the best record in Region 2, the Saints should be able to punch their ticket to state unless a team from like Emmitsburg or Sioux City manages to pull an upset in the finals. The number five team in 2A is West Branch, number six Mediapolis, number seven Western Christian, number eight Van Buren, number nine Maquoketa Valley, and number 10 Nodaway Valley. Now in Class 3A, the number one team is Dyke, New Hartford, with a record of 20-1, and Clear Lake is ranked number two with a record of 20-2. With a dominant win over Hampton Dumont in the regular season finale, Clear Lake proved once and for all that it is the North Central Conference's best team. The Lions beat Garner Hayfield Ventura on Saturday in the opening round and will play Forest City Wednesday night in the semifinal. The big test will be in the final, likely against Okoboji. If the Lions can win that game, which they should, they will be feeling pretty darn good going into the state tournament. The number three team is Bishop Helan, number four Red Oak, number five North Polk, number six Roland Story, seven Okoboji, eight Crestwood, nine Des Moines Christian, and 10 Davenport Assumption. And now moving to Class 4A, the number one team is North Scott with a record of 21-0. Then comes Marion number two, Glenwood number three, and Centerpoint Urbana number four. Number five is Ballard, six is Waverly Shell Rock, seven is Lewis Central, eight is Gilbert, nine is Cedar Rapids Xavier, and 10 Central DeWitt. Way down at 13 is Mason City with a record of 11-10. After a blowout win on Friday against Fort Dodge, the Mohawks ended the season with an 11-10 record and a first-round bye in the regional tournament. Mason City will either play 5-15 Spencer or 2-16 Storm Lake in the semis, so they are more or less guaranteed to play 18-1 Ballard in the regional finals. The road to the state tournament is not going to be easy for Mason City, but if they can pull off an upset against the number 5 ranked Bombers, they will deserve a spot down at Wells Fargo. And finally, in Class 5A, the rankings are number 1 Iowa City High, 2 Dowling Catholic, 3 Johnston, 4 Waukee, 5 Cedar Falls, 6 Southeast Polk, 7 Waterloo West, 8 Davenport North, 9 Cedar Rapids Prairie, and 10 Urbandale. Here's some more high school roundup for girls basketball. An article by David Gerbala in a special for the Globe. Some girls basketball coaches may have concerns when their teams fall behind 7-0 to start a game. Clear Lake girls coach Bart Smith may not have been happy with such a start in the Lions Class 3A regional opener against Garner Hayfield Ventura on Saturday, but he also knows the runs that his Lions are capable of. That is exactly what Smith saw as second-rated Clear Lake stormed ahead and moved on to a 57-46 win over the Cardinals. Good teams are going to defend you, Smith said. You've got to be ready to go. GHV jumped on the Lions quickly before a pair of Sarah Faber free throws nearly 3 minutes into the game got the Lions on the board. Those free throws sparked a 20-2 run over the remainder of the first quarter and the early stages of the second quarter. Clear Lake added another 12-0 run at the end of the third quarter, a spree that was largely sparked by the second unit. That stretch gave the Lions a 20-point advantage that Clear Lake was able to ride to the win. Balance on offense was key for the Lions, as six different players connected on three-point shots. Clear Lake made 9 shots from beyond the arc in the game. Faber, who recently became an all-time leading scorer in five-player basketball at Clear Lake, was limited to just 5 field goal attempts on the night, but the senior made all 5, including a trio of three-pointers, and was also perfect from the three-throw line to finish with 17. Casey Hulk added 13 points, while Darby Dodd finished with 8. Jaden Frank finished with 16 to lead the Cardinals, including a 10-for-10 performance from the free-throw line. Chloe Frank and Morgan Ryerson had 9 apiece for GHV. Clear Lake, who are 20-2, advances to Wednesday's regional semifinal, where the Lions will entertain Forest City. The Indians, who are 14-7, advanced with a 52-41 win over Humboldt on Saturday. The Cardinals finished their season with an overall mark of 8-14. Forest City 52, Humboldt 41. The Forest City girls basketball team improved to 14-7 with a 52-41 victory over Humboldt at home on Saturday in a Class 3A Region 2 first-round game. Junior Kaylee Miller led 3 Indians in double figures with 15 points and had a game-high 8 rebounds. Sophomore Shea Dillavu finished with 11 points, while senior Eric Kaler had 10 points. The Indians will face number 2 Clear Lake at 7 p.m. Wednesday in Clear Lake. Newman Catholic 60, Northwood Kensett 19. The Knights advanced to a second round of the Class 1A Region 2 playoff with a 60-19 win over Northwood Kensett at home on Saturday. Newman Catholic, which was never threatened in the game, improved to 13-9 on the season. The Knights outscored the Vikings 48-8 in the first half and never looked back. Seniors Haley Warman and Kellyanne Curley each scored 13 points and pulled down 7 rebounds to lead the Knights. Sophomore Carly Hagenstead led the Vikings with 6 points, while senior Jada Parks and sophomore Emma Davidson each grabbed 5 rebounds. Newman Catholic will play Bishop Garrigan in a 7 p.m. game on Tuesday. Hampton Dumont Cal 62, Iowa Falls Alden 34. The Bulldogs had an easy time in the first round of the Class 3A Region Girls Basketball Tournament with a 62-34 win on Saturday at home. The Bulldogs, who are 18-3, took a 31-12 halftime lead and never looked back to advance to the second round. Seniors Casey Ayers and Macy Ayers each scored 11 points to lead Hampton Dumont Cal, while senior Brianna Grover and sophomore Avery Hansen each pulled down 8 rebounds. The Bulldogs will face Jessup, who are 18-4, in the second round at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Lake Mills 50, Central Springs 35. The Bulldogs jumped out to a halftime lead and never looked back in a 50-35 victory in the first round of the Class 2A Region 2 playoffs on Saturday at Central Springs. Senior Jesse Gastiger paced the Bulldogs with 19 points, while senior Megan Groh had 12 points and junior Taylor Indelou scored 10. For Central Springs, junior Kristen Garnes had 11 points and sophomore Aliva Harms scored 9 points. Lake Mills faces Osage, which is 19-2, in a second-round game at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Janesville 53, Rockford 48. Rockford hung tough for a quarter and clawed its way back in a 53-48 loss to Janesville in the first round of the Class 1A Region 3 on Saturday at Janesville. Senior Amber Reams led the Warriors with 19 points and 12 rebounds, while senior Sierra Coolers scored 12 points. The Warriors finished the season at 4-17. And finally, West Fork 35, Sumner Fredericksburg 34. In a first-round Class 2A Region 4 game Saturday night at Sumner Fredericksburg, the Warhawks won a thrilling 35-34 thriller to advance to the next round. Sophomore Maddie Hubka led West Fork with 11 points and 5 rebounds, while senior Emily Caspers finished with 9 points and 5 rebounds. West Fork, who is 11-11, will play at MFL Marmac in a 7 p.m. game on Tuesday. Here's a brief recap of some of the wrestlers heading for state again. Class 3A, Mason City, Jace Rhodes at 113, Cullen Shriver at 126, and Colby Shriver at 145. In Class 2A, Charles City, Caden Collins, 182, Jack Sinninger, 195, Tino Tamayo, 220, and Chase Crooks at 285. Class 2A, Forest City, Kellen Moore, 113, Brock Moore, 120, Christian Gunderson, 152, Reese Moore, 182, and Austin Kelso, 285. In Osage, Nick Fox at 120, Joe Sullivan, 126, Avery Aubin, 132, Ryan Adams, 138, and Zach Williams at 160, Spencer Mooberry at 170. In Clear Lake, Sam Nelson goes at 126. Hampton Dumont Cal Barkema at 138, and David Cornetto at 145. Garner Hayfield Ventura, Jared Shaw at 160. West Hancock, Byer Shubdick at 152. Matthew Francis, 170. Cole Kelly, 182. Tate Hagen, 195. Tanner Hagen, 220. And Chandler Redenheiss, 285. In Lake Mills, Dalton Thorson, 138. Casey Hansen at 152. And Elijah Wagner at 160. In Central Springs, Clayton McDonough at 113 and Bryce McDonough at 120. In Riceville, Lawson Losey at 145. And finally, Northwood Kensett, Gideon Rolany goes at 220. And that brings us to the end of the reading of the Mason City Globe Gazette for today, Tuesday, February 18. I am Brad, and I've been your only reader today. This broadcast has come to you through a partnership between the Iowa Radio Reading Information Service and 97.9 FM KCMR Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of IRIS or KCMR. Thank you for listening and stay tuned. For today's reading of the Des Moines Register, you are listening to IRIS, your 24-hour radio reading service. I hope you have a great day.